Hey, Song Surfers, welcome to Song Surfing. It's your friend John. Song Surfing is a bi-weekly playlist of independent music pulled from the far reaches of the internet. I've been checking out music on Bandcamp, Spotify, Slap, SoundCloud, AudioMac, YouTube, Facebook, Audius, Instagram, and a few others, and I'm excited to share some excellent tunes with you this episode. Song Surfing is now a part of the Live from the Lincoln Lodge podcast network. Visit thelincolnlodge.com to explore the other shows on the network and to learn more about the venue's planned reopening. On this special edition of Song Surfing with Friends, I'll be talking with singer-songwriter Derek Smith. Derek also selected some excellent tunes for us to listen to. Let's go surfing. Hey, Derek, how you doing?
Great, John. How are you?
I just finished spring break at work, and now I'm back in the swing of things. And although being off is nice, you know, being back in a routine does me well.
Yeah, and we're just going into fall break as of today in Australia, because we're the polar opposite, literally.
So where at in Australia are you?
I'm in Melbourne, so in the southeast of the country. Originally, I spent quite a bit of time in Adelaide in South Australia, which is, again, in the south, but in the middle of the vast continent that it is. But yeah, currently I'm in Melbourne.
And you're... I'm trying to remember your backstory. Were you originally from Australia or?
No. I'm Irish, and back in 2000, I went for a 1 year holiday, traveled through Southeast Asia, and then had a plan to stay in Australia for a year, got to Australia, and met my wife here, and the rest became history. No intentions in staying in Australia, but I guess love rules, and yeah, I'm still here. So that's just 20 years almost exactly since I set foot in Australia.
So do you occasionally visit family in Ireland or?
Yeah, I've been back. I didn't go back for probably the first 7 years. I never returned, but I've been back twice in the last 4 years, and then a few years before that as well. So yeah, I started returning, and yeah, getting family settled and at the age where you can travel. So I would be there probably right now if it wasn't for COVID. We can't leave Australia, but that's just the way it is at the moment. So, yeah.
So you selected some music for us today. How did you go about choosing the songs?
The majority of the music, by probably the fourth selection, are all, I guess, individuals that I encountered either through falling across their music through various different online sources during lockdown, which, you mean, it's really just ending here in Melbourne. We were probably the toughest of any country. So, so from March until, really now they're just opening up fully. So I've fallen across them through Slaps, and one was through a Facebook page called Create Record Release. That's how I came across them. And yeah, I guess music for me, it's when I hear something and I like it, it just grabs my attention. And that might be related to the mood I was in at that particular time, or sometimes the background story from those people. And yeah, not necessarily in the genres that I would normally listen to. So that's how I happened across. And the first three that I've chosen, the fourth is somebody I met when I first arrived in Australia.
So there's something that grabs you about the song.
Yeah.
For me, a lot of times it's the groove that I get into, or a certain hook in the vocal part.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, it's the whole feeling. It's, it's not necessarily, you mean, for somebody who, I won't say I spend a long time writing the lyrics, but the lyrics, I do take some time in it to get across, I guess, my story, what I want to get through. But I tend to, I mean, there's music I listen to. An example is Pink Floyd, Time. It's only, I think it was like 6 months ago, where I actually stopped and listened to the lyrics. I loved the song forever. My emotion and feeling about the song was exactly what the lyrics were saying, but I could never, and I could sing the lyrics, but I never paid attention to them to listen to. Go, wow, that is profound and so clever and smart and all of those sort of things. So usually my gut is right when, by the time I do actually pay attention to the detail, and kind of going, I've never got a surprise where, oh, I don't agree with what that song is saying. So it's usually the whole emotion that catches me more so than the groove. But I think it's the emotion, the groove is part of that, and the the air, the tone in the voice and all that, or the instruments and just the ambience that's set by it.
Years ago, I read an interview with the singer and guitarist in the band Modest Mouse, Isaac Brock is his name, and he was talking about, he said something like he actively avoids finding out what his favorite songs are about because he's had too many songs ruined by that, where he finds out what the real meaning is behind it, and then all of a sudden it sucks all his enjoyment out of it. It doesn't connect with him in the same way that it originally did because he thought it was something else.
Yeah. Yeah. I would like to improve how I do things, and people say, oh, listen to a song and zone in on the drums or zone in on the vocals. I can't do it. I just get enveloped by the whole thing. It surrounds me, and I'll go in with the intention, I'm going to listen to the words, the lyrics of this song, and ignore everything else that's going on around about it. And suddenly I'm at the end of the song and I've just got completely sucked in and spat out at the end and kind of going, oh, I forgot to listen to the lyrics. And I can try that 20 times in a row and I'll still come out at the end and not have listened to the lyrics. I just get so, it just whisks me away, I guess. But yeah, thankfully I've never had that shocking moment where I went, oh, this is a really bad whatever content in there. I've never had that one. I've eventually read it or figured out what the lyrics are about.
So you're tending to listen on, I guess, what the macro level rather than the micro?
Yeah, yeah. I'm why I enjoy the small things in the background and I do hear the little voices in the background, the little songs, and I hear that and I do get the kick and get that adds into it. It's still about the macro rather than the micro. But I do enjoy the little things, but it's the whole feeling is what sucks me in and takes me to, well, why did you select these songs at that particular point in time? They drag me in and not necessarily can't explain why, and not necessarily in genres that I would normally, I guess, associate myself with.
So the first song that we'll be listening to is by Grant Kennedy. It's called The Self You Used to Know, and it's from the EP Away. Before we get into it, is there anything you want to tell us about Grant or the song?
Look, this song, I came across it on Slaps, which is it was probably one of my first and last times on there. And I was just going through music and listening to, I guess, to give genuine, as artists, it's hard to get feedback and are you good, are you bad, what do you need to improve on, and feel like secure in that it's not people being overly nice or being overly critical as well, that is fair. But so I was listening to through it and instantaneously, once I hit the music from Grant, I think he had four songs up, which inevitably ended up on his EP. Each one of them, they just hit me, stopped me where I had to play on repeat. I just shot him a message kind of going, said what I said, going, don't have much more to say except for this, just really just stopped me in my tracks. And then I guess through the magic, social media, just connected with him. Yeah. Can't say, he would refer to me as being a friend, whatever like that, but certainly connecting on a personal level, just checking in how he's going and the music. His backstory as well. He's from the emergency physician, and that somebody put out music of that quality. It's really, really, really professionally done. He'd done, I think, an EP before and a second one to produce something that was so professional. Notwithstanding the beautiful lyrics, the playing, and all that, it was the whole thing where you're kind of going, wow, this is not an amateur. This is somebody who's really, really gifted and talented.
So you came across Grant on slaps.com. And for the listeners, if you haven't come across Slaps, it's run by DistroKid, which is a music distribution service. It's one of the sites where that gets the music out to Spotify and Amazon and Apple for the artists. If I understand it correctly, Slaps is meant as a way for users of DistroKid to test out ideas, right? To put songs out there, get feedback from other people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because a lot of the distribution, a lot of the cloud services, there is no place to get feedback, even from fans. I mean, you can stick a song up on Facebook or Instagram and get it there, but that's really it. I think the only one who tried it was Apple, did it back about 10 years ago, and they pulled the pin soon afterwards. But yeah, so it's for other creators that they can share music, test ideas out, or just get feedback. Or yeah, it's quite useful. And you mean there's a lot of talent out there, and you mean they're all, most of them will be unknown, independent, unsigned type people. And you mean that at that time that was the case for a few of these people I came across. It's like, wow, there's people doing really great things in their bedroom that you're not going to see on Spotify unless you're very, very lucky to fall across it.
So here's a bit from Grant's bio. Grant Kennedy grew up on the Canadian prairies, the product of farmers and fiddlers. With a healthy dose of the Eagles on the tape deck of his father's Chevy, Kennedy learned to sing along at a young age. These days, when you listen to Kennedy, you hear warm melodies and easy-listening vocals blended with stellar musicianship. In 2020, Kennedy's day job as an emergency physician landed him on the front lines of the global pandemic. It didn't take long for Kennedy to turn to his lifelong passion, music and songwriting, as an outlet for the stress that was building up within and around him. The new material that would make up his second EP, Away, was honest and necessarily darker than anything he had previously written, touching on struggles with his mental health as he cared for ailing citizens around him. Ultimately, Kennedy teamed up with Canadian music luminary Russell Broom to produce the EP and bring his musical stories to life. In November of 2020, Kennedy released the EP single, The Self Used to Know, and that's what we're going to listen to. All right, so let's take a listen to Grant Kennedy with The Self He Used to Know from the EP, Away.
Longest day never really seemed to drift away. I keep holding on to yesterday, just holding on too long. Westward home, best place that you used to know. They don't recognize me anymore, 'cause those days have come and gone. But tonight, breathe slow, and take everything that's wrong and let it go. 'Cause it's high time you light it close and you find the surf that you use. Set his hand, left you longing for those country nights. The stars are out, you can't see satellites, stoking embers till the dawn. But tonight, breathe slow and take everything that's wrong. Let it go, 'cause it's high time you light it close and you find the self that you used to know. When you put out a fire just to breathe in smoke, dreams are moving on and all you want. 'Cause you're lost in lanes and through his lines. Some things never change, you learn to love it just the same. Breathe slow, and take everything that's wrong and let it go. In this hard time, you lie, you close, and you find the self that you used to know. And you find the self that you used to know. I hope you find the self that you used to know.
In the Key of Q is a new podcast series featuring music and conversation with queer musicians from around the world. Musicians like soulful Ty McKinney. Musicians like suburban pop king Matt Fischel. And musicians like rapper Deism. That's In the Key of Q, available on all the usual podcast providers.
What's up, everybody? This is No Repeat, a music podcast where we pick three songs every week with no repeats and no do-overs to create a perfect playlist for every occasion life throws at you.
And to help curate the playlist, we take listener suggestions from songs that take over the world to best karaoke songs.
And finally, to wrap up the whole package, we do notable B-sides, which are songs that were oh so close to being picked, but just didn't make it.
Learn about three new songs every week on our podcast, No Repeat. Available everywhere you get podcasts.
And we're back. So I'm being joined by Derek Smith, and Derek selected some music for us to listen to. We just heard Grant Kennedy, and now we'll be moving on to Anderson of a Painter with the song The Legacy Fallacy from the album The Legacy Fallacy. All right, Derek, what can you tell us about Anderson of a Painter?
So Mike is the man and the myth, I guess, behind the name. Again, I came across in the same session of where I found Grant. I came across Anderson of a Painter, and the music just caught me. And it was the simplicity and I guess the intensity of the music at the same time. I mean, it's a man with a guitar. Depending on which song you listen to, with quite profound lyrics, sometimes very clever. Cheeky, humorous lyrics. You mean, albeit he's a Welsh man living in Australia. That John Prine type thing, where there's a kind of humor and a side cheek to it, and also some quite just deep lyrics and stuff like that. But again, it was the fullness of it. And from what I at the time, I was thinking about my own music and enjoying just pulling out a guitar in front of a mic and singing and playing at the same time and telling a story, the Woody Guthrie type thing. And I got that sense from Anderson of a Painter. So I think he just pulls out his mic, sits down, and he has a song written and sings it and plays it at the same time, and you can just hear that interconnection between them.
So here's a bit from the bio. Anderson of a Painter is the solo recording and performing persona of singer-songwriter-guitarist Mike Davies, also of the duo Jumbotown. The work of Anderson of a Painter sparks from various literature and musical inspirations and comes through in the form of contemporary lyrical folk and sometimes quirky acoustic guitar-based songs. So one thing that really stood out to me about the song, and as a guitarist I'm impressed by, is the way that Mike plays these guitar interjections in between some of his lines of verses, or to bridge a chorus to the verse section. I really respect when guitarists can do that, where they're almost like duetting with themselves.
Yeah,
that's not something that I can very naturally do. Record this part, then record that part. You know, if I have to play too many roles at once, it's a little bit above my head. So it's pretty cool stuff. So here is Anderson of a Painter with The Legacy Fallacy from the album The Legacy Fallacy.
If in the end I lie with no one, that's okay. Not
got one personal possession I could give away. Wouldn't mean my life was loveless, absent of friends, treasureless and empty, beginning to the end. If I wane away in winter, that's all right. In the gloomiest and coldest and darkest of nights, it wouldn't mean I hadn't flowered many years in spring, never had a bright day, brought some light to shadowed things. How do you want to be remembered? What would you like people to say? What matters are the nudges I gave along the way. Little things I did for people, even though they may not know. Little things I did for culture, even though they may not show. As far as audits go, even though they may not show, even though they may not know, even though they may not show, even though they may not know.
Hey, Song Surfers, we're back. I'm here with Derek Smith. Derek, how did you get started in music or with songwriting?
How do I get started with songwriting? It's a bit of a tough topic, but it's going back almost 5 years ago. My father died. He basically got given a medication, which he had an adverse reaction to. And yeah, when he, I guess, passed away with family around about him, I sort of stayed behind when the family made away. And I just started singing songs to him, or the songs that he would play in the car, or would just suddenly start singing when we're going a long road trip, and just started singing them back to him. Not necessarily songs that I had a connection with, but at that point in time, that I made a connection with them. And don't know where it came from, don't know why I remember those songs, but you mean, I remember I was about four or five of them I sung, and it was in Spain, and there was these people looking at me kind of going, what's this guy doing? And I moved moved away, but yeah, something just sparked in me there where after I came back to Australia after that, I bought myself a MacBook Pro and a small little guitar. I had played guitar for a while in my teens and sort of let it slide. But yeah, I just started playing it just, I guess, as to help me resolve the things you go through when you lose someone that's very, very close to you, obviously with father and a parent and someone who's quite special.
You hadn't been involved in music before that. Your dad passing was the kind of the push that got you into it?
Into songwriting, yeah. Yeah, like when I was in my teens, sort of mid-late teens, I remember we were working out in Ireland, we've these things called bogs, is where you go and cut up solid fuel that you then use to keep yourself warm in Ireland, which is 365 days a year because it's cold, wet, and miserable place. But and it was coming close to my birthday, and he kind of goes, "Would you like to learn an instrument?" And I go, "Yeah, I wouldn't mind it." And he goes, "What would you like?" And I go, "Well, I just discovered Jimi Hendrix through my dad, but actually through a guy called Randy California and his version of Hey Joe." And I said, "I'd really like to play the guitar, but I think I'd be good at the drums." So I got a guitar, an acoustic guitar, probably because it was too expensive for a drummer, probably too noisy. Jimi Hendrix Smash Hits was the first album I probably ever bought. And I learned all of that on my acoustic guitar. That was sort of it. Then I kind of let it slide until, yeah, really so I was never in a band or wrote songs or anything like that. Just wanted to play those music. And I was disappointed in Jimi Hendrix's version of Hey Joe. Randy California's, for whatever reason, stuck to me better. But then I heard Purple Haze and my mind just got blown. Yeah, so that was it then when my dad passed. And you mean, he'd such a love of music. And in Ireland, music is it's very deep in our bones and in our culture. It's everything. But I was more, and still am, just love EDM, electronic, techno, minimalist type stuff is probably the music I listen to more. And I guess at the time, grunge and Pink Floyd were the things that would have ruled my CD player cassette deck at the time. So after he passed, then it was a year coming up to his anniversary. I, for some reason, said, right, up to mark his anniversary, I was going to write a song. So I wrote it. And then I said for the next one, I was going to write an album. And the next one, I said the same. So that's really how I got into it, was just making that decision. Spawned from there. I would never really have sang or played in front of people before that. Tried it once or twice and it was quite disastrous, but yeah.
Now, isn't one of your albums a charity album? Is that related to your dad?
Yeah, it was. And you mean all the, pretty much the money, and it's usually through Bandcamp, any of the money that I raised from any of my sales, I've given to charity. And 1 year, I basically matched it dollar for dollar. So whatever people put in, then I put in, donated to charity myself. So yeah, it's mainly family and friends who do that sort of stuff. So, but yeah, that's my intention with it. I'm not there to make money. Music itself for me is more about resolving things in my head.
So your songs, they have, to me, a really organic sound. The verses, the choruses, the bridge, everything seems to flow really naturally. And I'm just curious where this comes from, how the song starts. When I write songs, I tend to have a kernel of an idea that I build things from, and then maybe eventually the chorus will come to me, or maybe the rhythm for the verse will come to me. There's usually one idea, though, that I kind of build everything from. And it often takes a lot of trial and error and work to get things to kind of flow, to get the rhythm to sound natural. I'm wondering if it's a similar process for you, or how it gets started and how it takes shape. Or is it the same from song to song?
No, it's nothing like that for me. Given, you mean, as a person and in my professional life, I'm a very process-oriented person. You mean, I'm either building processes, developing processes, cracking them open and disrupting them to make them better. And everything's like on creating checklists and let's do this stuff in the structure. For music, and maybe it's anything but that way. I guess a bit the same way I come across music, it's really from an emotion. So I can kind of go on, right, I'm going to write a song about loss or love or whatever topic you want to come across. That it doesn't work that way. it usually, the majority of the music, and you can tell the better, well, what I consider as my better songs, and the flow more naturally, it's usually something where, yeah, I've got something, you mean an emotion building up inside, I feel sad about something, I feel anxiety or stress about something, and I'll just pick up my guitar. The guitar for me is, it's like kids, you mean, as a person, I've got ADHD, so it's like a fidget spinner for me, the guitar. I'll start tinkling on it, and then I'll go, ooh, that sounds nice. But it's usually that sound will come from whatever I need to resolve. So if I feel, let's say it's feeling really sad or upset about something that I heard on the news today or whatever. Actually, that'd be a great lyric in a song, wouldn't it? I think it might be done already.
Better write it down.
Where was I? It'll create a song, a sound on the guitar that'll catch my ear. And then from there, I'll just keep playing with that. And then if it's to be, if a lyric comes, a word comes out, and once I get that little sentence that helps resolve or explain whatever's going on in my brain or in my heart, then that very quickly turns into a song. I just sit down and record it.
Do the words tend to come to you in large chunks, or do you sometimes have to work and rework?
Usually it comes pretty quickly. I guess if I've got the sound on my guitar, which, you mean, I hold it close against my chest and that vibrates through my whole being, and that kind of brings out an emotion. Sometimes it might be recordings on my voice memos or on my phone where I'll just be rambling words to the melody or to the rhythm or whatever of the song, and then I'll come back and there'll be like one or two words or sentences that I know that's what the song will revolve around, and then I come back and put proper sentences where I'll be mumbling or rapping or whatever it might be. So they usually come in, when they come, they usually come in quick chunks.
Yeah, it's always fun when that happens. Yeah. You feel like you're connected to something more. I read an interview with Keith Richards once where they were asking him about songwriting, and he just gave a very cryptic answer where he said something along the lines of, I can't really tell you how I come up with it. It just comes from out there.
Yeah. For me, I'm not quite that mystical and magical, but it does, you mean, it starts from a feeling, something I want to resolve or something I want to explain. And I do, I mean, they're like me having conversations. Most of the music is like me having a conversation with myself, and whether it's about, you mean, the songs can be from anything from gun control to... or not gun control, but around about society and how to treat guns, to depression, to losing friends by suicide, to all kinds of things. I mean, it sounds very grim, but it's from there, and it's kind of, this is me just talking to back to myself, going, this is how you get through this, Derek, and how you explain it. And then that usually, I walk away, I feel good. I've taken it. It's like going to see a psychiatrist or something, a psychologist, and having that conversation, going, right, okay, I've resolved that now. That's how I do it. And they're kind of left there, I guess, have a longer term thing. They're there if it helps somebody, because every so often somebody will listen to the song, kind of going, that really helped. It twigged for them because they're in the same position, and it's resolved something from them, which is probably the greatest compliment you can probably ever have as a person, let alone as somebody who's trying to write music. And I'd like to think it's something there for my kids in the future, because they're going to go through the same things that I've gone through. Some or all of those things in future. So at least they'll go, well, I'm not alone. I'm not the only person. I mean, years gone by, I guess parents didn't really prepare you for, here is the not so fancy things that happen in life as you hit middle age and onwards. So that's sort of then how I leave them, go, well, that's enough. That may be a story or help to somebody in the future. And I've got out of it what I want to get out of it, which is feeling a bit better or with greater understanding.
Well, how about we get into some more music? We're going to listen to John Silvers with the piece Atlantica. So what do you know about this piece, Derek?
So again, John, I think it was just at the beginning, it was probably February, March last year, released a piece of music on a Facebook page called Create, Record, Release. And it was an instrumental played on the ukulele, and it just, again, I put it on. Ukulele is not necessarily an instrument that I would listen to. Instrumentals is not necessarily a thing that I would lean towards, albeit EDM is generally instrumental, but not in acoustic type scenarios. And it sucked me in. I just had visions of what was going on. He had one piece of artwork with it. There was no video, and it took me somewhere. It just took me away. Made contact with John, and I mean, we've probably become as close a friend as you possibly can be in an online scenario. We've never spoken to each other, despite several efforts. We've always missed each other, but we contact each other most days. So that's how I came across him. You mean, he's a multi-instrumentalist. As opposed to me, he's a real musician in terms of understands the theory, you mean, how to just create beautiful pieces like this. But it was one day I was sitting down eating some beef, broccoli, so very, very boring. And he sent me, check this out. I like it, but I think I'm going to ditch it. I went, okay. So I put it on. It was via Dropbox. And I remember sitting there with the food hanging at the side of my mouth and the fork up in the air, where it just took me, transported me away. I was just gobsmacked. And I played it again. And he's like, going, that bad, eh? And I was like, going, mate, I've never heard anything. So you mean piano again? So it's a piece on the piano. Wouldn't be necessarily something, but it just... yeah, it just swept me away and says, you just need to get that out into the world.
Here's a bit that John Silvers wrote for us. My name is John Silvers, and I come from a musical family. My father was a musician, as was his father, and I feel privileged every day that I'm able to compose and share my music with others, in the hopes that it may, with any luck, help heal someone who needs it most. My latest EP, Kimmy's Hope, was written for a friend of mine from Brazil who had this dream of visiting Norway. The EP itself explores this imagined story. As far as the track Atlantica goes, I painted a scene in my head of a person on a plane leaning their head up against the window and seeing the Atlantic Ocean for the very first time while contemplating all the facets of their journey, both past and present, using that very moment in time for reflection. You can find my music on all major platforms, including Spotify, Apple, Amazon, YouTube, etc., under the name John Silvers, or you can find me on Instagram at johnsilvers.music. So this is John Silvers with Atlantica.
Thank you.
And we're back. I'm here with Derek Smith. Derek selected some excellent music for us to listen to. We're getting to the last of his selections before we get into hearing one of Derek's songs. So next up is the song The Piper from The True Detective from the album Bring Me the Deputies. About the song, The True Detective said, the song is pretty self-explanatory. So he'd rather you come to your own conclusions about what it's about, but that's not what we're going to do. So what can you tell us about it, Derek?
There's a lot of facets to this song. I think I mentioned earlier on that, I've known Tony for just short on 20 years, and it's the longest enduring friendship that I have, and certainly the longest that I've one of the first friends since I came to Australia, which is close on 20 years ago. It would be 14 years ago when I first heard this song. He was in my house. We were just about to get married, my wife and I. That's why I know it was around about 14 years ago. We're sitting in the family area of the house, and he pulled out a guitar and played that song. And I was just blown away. It was just a straight acoustic set, which tends to be my favorite. And I was like going, wow. And I said, who's that? And he goes, I wrote that. And I'm going, no. I know you play it, but who wrote it? He goes, no, that's my own music. I make my own music. And at that point in time, I never heard of people recording at home, never knew anybody recorded. And it was one of those weird moments where you're kind of going, of course, there's just normal people writes music and that's how it happens. It was like, it's like finding out that, what do they call them? Rice bubbles are made out of rice. It was like one of those kind of going, duh, of course. But for me, it was like going, wow. I didn't take, of course, I went, wow, I'd love to be able to do that. I never did it for another 10 years. But so it opened up that. And then he's like, oh, here's my CDs. I've recorded all that. And again, my mind was blown. What, you did this yourself in your own bedroom and room? And he's going, yeah, I've done that. And here you go. Here's six albums, whatever it was. I was like, going, blew me away. But the piece of music itself, other than, where it caught me that day, the theme of it is, as I said earlier, I'm Irish and I'm from the Republic, so the south of Ireland, which is, we were well buffered or well away from, I guess, what most people remember in the 80s, the troubles in the north of Ireland, which is a separate company, but I guess separate country, associated with each other. And when you grow up in a country that you hear about, the opposite side, and it doesn't matter what it's in, that you're almost bred in with a fear or a misunderstanding or a bias against people. And Tony, as he says on his on the song itself, he was a British soldier stationed in Northern Ireland. So from a Republic perspective, and for, I guess from one side in the north of Ireland, would have been seen as being the enemy. But the song, when you listen to the song, you just go, these are just human beings going about doing what they believe is right, with no animosity towards anyone. They're just trying to get out there. And he talks about the fear of walking down just a street, sort of terror that they were living. Yes, they might have been the army, but they were living in absolute fear. And his own case, and probably most others, they really did not want to be there, didn't know why they were there. One of the lines he talks about is his grandfather meeting him there, and you go, wow, not only that, but he was there and he's got his own family in the north of Ireland. And yeah, it was one of those reconciliation moments, I guess, for me, where you realize that we're all just humans trying to do the best that we can. And sometimes you might have a bias against somebody from where they're from or what their job is, and you're kind of going, it's just get to know the people. And we've become very good friends just through conversations, and we used to drink together and play music together, stuff like that. But but that's what the song sort of means to me. It was one of those bridging things where it helps you resolve some stuff, that misconceptions that you had throughout your life. And again, power of music, simple words, an understanding, I guess, the human condition. You mean he carries that around with him as many other soldiers. I think he writes in it, again, the bio, the song about it being, I mean, Northern Ireland is like the Vietnam for probably a lot of the forces in the US, where, yeah, it a lot of deep scars. And you mean up until I met somebody from there that had been involved, and I would have never have considered that. So I guess it helped me evolve as human being and as a person. So yeah, that's what it means. Quite deep, I guess, but I guess that's what music can be at times if you take time to listen.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that it had such a profound connection to it. So we'll be playing The Piper by The True Detective, and then I'm going to go right into playing your song, Stressed Out. Anything you want to tell us about that?
Just on The Piper, an interesting thing, I guess, like musicians, if you ask Tony, he will say, I don't like that song. And we all will write our own music as artists and go, well, I don't like that. But there's a good chance when you wrote it, it was the right thing. And later on, somebody, it's going to make a big difference to somebody. So, yeah. And he clearly said, you mean, I don't like the song. But yeah, it made a huge mark in my life. So my own song, Stressed Out, it's probably quite different to an awful lot of my other type music, which is usually, folky, sad old middle-aged man type music. what did I say before? Middle-aged, lycra-wearing people who really shouldn't be wearing lycra. But it's, it does deal, although it feels a lot lighthearted and it's quite... I'm not good with genres, but it's a lot poppier, I guess, punkish type feel to it. It does deal with stress and how it feels, and that you don't want to deal with the world, and it touches on, I guess, alcohol, and for others, I guess, how they deal with their stress, and from going, I don't want to meet anyone, to talk to anybody, get one drink in, and suddenly you're the life and soul of the party, and you wake up the next day going, you're deeper in the hole. So it's a it's one of those songs where I've got less of a background story. It was, I actually recorded it. I had quite a few beers in as well. So a few words are slurred in there. So that's just, that's obviously an artistic license to do that. But it does, again, it has that story about dealing with stress and what it's like. It's BDI. That's where I'm talking about. It's looking out and just waiting for you and egging you on sometimes. Go on, have a drink or do this. You'll be right. That's really the background to it. It's quite different from my normal songs. I'm glad you picked it, John, because I would have went, oh, I'll pick that. But I'm kind of going, probably most people wouldn't like it. So I'm glad you spotted it. It was definitely a fun song to do and a bit different. I think at the time I was in a Radiohead fixation, which I still always am, but I think that kind of drove me to kind of the melodies and the chords that was used in it, which are just, I don't know what the chords are, they were just shapes that I went, ooh, that sounds nice, play that again.
Yeah, those are usually the best chords.
Yeah, don't know what the chord is, it's a shape.
Well, you know, I like all of your songs, and I do like the acoustic, more melancholy ones, but I don't know, this one is just fun. And I listened on the level of groove, guitar parts, kind of the notes you're singing. I didn't listen too much in terms of lyrics, which I need to now that I know what you're singing about and where it comes from. But I like that the song can be enjoyed on multiple levels.
Yeah. And look, at the same for me. I would enjoy it. Like I said, it'd be like something you could pop on and it would add a vibe and energy to it. And it would be a song where it has probably lesser depth to the lyrics. So the lyrics, I think with this one, it's rare, I do it. I think the music sort of was fairly well developed in my head, and then I just try to push words into it. So, and I think that comes across, I mean, in it as well. So the lyrics, while I have a story to tell, they're kind of, they're not probably as deep and maybe... vegan as normally are, the normally would be. I think the music is a more important part of it, the feel of it for this particular piece, which is different for me. Normally I've just an acoustic guitar and me rattling on like an old man.
Well, you know, I mean, there's the thing to keep in mind that if we wanted to just write words, we'd be poets and not songwriters.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah. having great stuff going on in the music is definitely a plus. So, Derek, thank you for joining us this episode. Is there anything you'd like to plug? And can you tell us where we can find your music?
My music is across all the platforms. It's all under just Derek Smith, and that's with a Y. Irish people don't understand this, S-M-Y-T-H. And yeah, I've got my own website. Again, it's just Derek Smith, again with a Y.com. And yeah, it's got links in there. I do plan of just, as you know, I'm just recovering for some surgery, and I've got a number of songs lined up waiting to get recorded when I can get my voice and function of my hand back in. So hopefully this side of July, in the next month or two, I'll be releasing something new. But yeah, pretty much it's available everywhere. Bandcamp, if you happen to throw a few dollars, that goes elsewhere to help other people. But yeah, if the song means something and helps you along, that's the win for me. Yeah, that's really it. Thank you very much for having us on. It's really, I've been loving the music and the depth and the variety that you've been showing. I've listened to jazz and music from all over the world, and it's just been great. Hopefully I've exposed some great musicians to other people where they'll find them and enjoy their music. That's for me fantastic. So thank you for that.
Well, I appreciate you listening. It means a lot. And the feedback you've given me has been really helpful too. In episode 9, near the end, I shouted you out for that. So Song Surfers, I'll be linking to all of the songs in the show notes, so you can check out the artists' pages. You can purchase, stream. We'll also have a link to Derek's website, and please check out his music. It's excellent. You can find the link to that in your podcast player or over on the website, songsurfingpodcast.com. Derek, thanks again, and take care.
Thank you.
Faces around him. Your search boys are frightened as hell. We shiver quietly behind him. Batons up and flies down. Link cards conquer line and circle around. Get back now, we were only kids. A special duty on the border town. Sergeant's handing out non-lethal rounds. All right, but looky, let's start to move. Keep your heads down, keep your spice and smooth. Don't you worry about what's on your boys.
I'm thinking,
don't you fuck up, don't you leave me behind.
So my granddad, he lives a few streets away, but I hope he didn't see me the other day.
Cause I don't think that he would be too proud. Grandson wears a red shirt. I should have stayed at home, gone back to school. Instead of helping old Britannia rule. So here's to the soldiers of the Queen, you see. Chance to see the world be all you can be. He's handing out non-lethal rounds.
sniper on the roof, he said. Take off your berets, boys, get some steel on your heads. Or I'm a glad it's time to move. Keep your heads down, keep your spice in smooth. Don't you worry about what's on your minds. Don't you fuck up, don't you leave me behind.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Song Surfing. If you'd like to reach out with any comments or suggestions, you can email me at songsurfingpodcast@gmail.com. I'd also love to hear about any artists or bands or songs that you'd like to hear on the show. You can check out the show notes for the podcast Friends of the Show in the Key of Q, No Repeat Podcast, and Chicago Fight Club. Chicago Fight Club is a show about conflict. Comedian MC Lightsey and the rest of the Fight Club team chat with, or rather interrogate, Chicago's best up-and-coming comics about anything, tackling current issues, life perspectives, and why they're still mad at their dads. Recorded live at the Lincoln Lodge Theater, check out Chicago Fight Club. There's always something to fight about. Thanks to Josh Ween for letting me use his song Living in a Fishbowl as the theme music for the show. You can find Josh's music on Bandcamp by searching Ween Solo, that's spelled W-I-E-N-S-O-L-O. Thanks also to Patrick Moonbird for letting me use his song Little Pills, which you're hearing right now, as the outro music. Patrick's music is available everywhere you can stream music and is linked in the show notes. See you next time. Thank you.